Do you ever find yourself forgetting things? Or maybe you've noticed your partner, parent, or grandparent has started repeating themselves or showing other signs of potential memory loss or dementia. In society, a dementia diagnosis is often seen as the beginning of the end, a hopeless situation that will just lead to the person slowly declining in health and memory more and more, before the person they once were has completely disappeared. But what if I told you these memory issues could actually be dealt with? And that maybe it's not dementia at all, but a B12 deficiency. Today I'm chatting with Louise Hallinan from the Smart Brain Health Center, who has some very interesting insight to share about improving our brain health. Some of this information will surprise you. Let's jump into this mind-opening episode. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, and I help business owners just like you overcome their fear of failure and find the courage within to step up, show up, and make an impact on the world, while also living a lucrative life and reaching their full potential. And I do this through strategic marketing coaching and training and via engaging conversational copywriting at Right Time Marketing. So feel free to book in a free 30-minute discovery call with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I'm joined by my guest, Louise Hallinan. Welcome, Louise.
Thank you for inviting me to your show, Leanne.
Oh, thank you. So to let everyone know who you are, so Louise is the international award-winning author of the book Smart Brain, Healthy Brain. She's also the founder of Smart Brain Health Center in Sydney's Hills District and a natural medicine practitioner. She specializes in the prevention and treatment of memory problems to reduce the risk of dementia and improve brain health. Her Smart Brain Prevention Program identifies the cause of your memory problems and provides a unique treatment plan to start making improvements. And I absolutely love the work that Louise does. You know, I've had grandparents who have watched decline thanks to dementia, and just finding out there's ways around it. You don't just have to accept that's just what's going to happen. You can't do anything about it. I love that you can do something if you notice those initial signs, which I wanted to dive into today. So I can't remember where we originally connected, but I do remember having a chat with Louise at a local, hopefully inaugural, hopefully it's now an annual thing, health expo right before COVID hit. Thankfully that squeezed into the calendar before everything closed down. But lately we've actually been seeing each other regularly at the Sydney Hills BX networking group in Bella Vista. And it's been awesome. And so yes, if you are looking for a networking group to join, I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. But enough from me. Louise, could you please share a little bit more about your business journey until today?
Yeah, how long have we got, eh?
Yeah, I'd summarise it.
Okay. Look, it all started when my mother got Alzheimer's disease. She's the one that's the reason why I'm in it now, doing the Smart Brain Health Centre now. She had Alzheimer's disease for many years. At the time, I was studying nutrition and natural medicine, and I couldn't really help in any way because I was just learning all that. So at the time when she had it, the doctor told me that it was hereditary and there was a good chance that I would get it myself. So I didn't like what he said, and I thought, surely, you know, this is not like I still got my whole life ahead of me. He can't say that, you know, so I'm going to be seeing if there's something we can do about it. And so that set me on a journey of researching everything I could find about Alzheimer's disease. And when I initially found it, like one of the earliest symptoms of Alzheimer's disease is memory problems. I wanted to find out what were the causes of these memory problems. So I looked and I found so many causes that I thought, this is incredible. There's a lot of things people don't know. I didn't even know myself. I said, we should put all this information in the book, you know, because what I found was so many courses that were either lifestyle courses or medical courses, but also all the wonderful things we can actually do to improve our memory, even, you know, not having any other memory problems. So, so I put all the information in the book, and the book's called Smart Brain, Healthy Brain, and we got it.
Woo-hoo! I'll put in the show notes in case anyone wants to buy a copy. I want to read one. I am going to buy one myself. I'm very interested in reading.
So that was the best thing I did, because I just wanted to put the information in there to help as many people as possible. My book, the following year, won an international book award in the US. So that was very exciting. And up until that stage, I was just practicing, not really specializing in brain health or memory problems at all. I was just doing, you know, like helping with like a GP of natural medicine. It was like children's health, women's menopause, gout for guys, you know, sinus problems, coughs and colds, a whole lot. So I was not really specializing in any area. But once my book won an international book award, I felt very strongly about it, so I decided to launch and found the Smart Brain Health Centre.
Oh, so the book came first. That's pretty well, cool. Often you start establish a business first, then you might write a book as part of it, but it's kind of a first for you. It's more a fascination yourself and your own personal research, and then it's evolved into a business.
Yeah, look, I always wanted to. It took me years. It took me a lot of courage to actually just specialise in one area, because no one's even thinking it's possible to do, even look at this area. You know, it's not something that people are lining up for to see about. And from what I've felt so strongly about my research, that I have to tell people that there's things you can do. And with the, you know, with the way the numbers of dementia are increasing, no one's doing much about it. So I just thought, well, look, this is got to put this in the book. The Smart Brain Health Centre was always there in the back of my mind, but I had when I was writing the book, I had my business called the Hallin and Memory Clinic, and that was in Hornsby. And so it was like a whole year that I was writing and putting the book together under the name of the Hallin and Memory Clinic. And then once I sort of published the book, I thought, well, that's it, you know, I'm going to have the Smart Brain Health Centre. And it was sort of, you know, a little bit tricky because I'm putting my foot in an area where I shouldn't really be going, you know, medically. So I thought, okay. But once the book won an international book award, I just felt really strongly. I thought, this is what I want to do. I was meant to be doing. So, you know, I felt very strongly about it. And I thought, yeah, I can do this. Not worried anymore because I got it, you know, everything that I found in my book, it's backed up with research studies, scientific research studies. So I haven't written anything in there that isn't fact and true. Yeah, so.
I love that. I love it. And because, yeah, I think from my experiences with my, you know, a couple of my grandparents declining from dementia, if you mention to someone, oh, my grandmother has dementia, it's like, oh, the poor thing. And it's kind of like just accepted that that's just their fate. Like once you get it, oh, well, you're on a, you know, decline from here. I don't feel, I mean, from my experience with nursing homes that, you know, the quality of food, support, it's just, and you know, once, this is what I was reading about recently in a book before I forget, and that if you start thinking, oh, I'm forgetting things, oh, I'm just on the downward spiral towards dementia, I just accept it, and then you're not challenging yourself and not learning new things, you've just gone, oh, okay, that's the end for me. But no, you can actually take some steps to improve. And I know you were saying the other day that it's often some omission in the diet, some supplements or something can be taken to then wake up the brain.
Exactly. There's so many things we can do. There's so many causes of memory problems. And a lot of these causes can actually be treated. And I say that, you know, if you're actually affected by memory problems or even got been diagnosed with early dementia or early younger onset dementia or Alzheimer's, really they're still like I would still definitely look into it because I think there's just I think they're diagnosing my personal, this is my just personal opinion, that I believe that they're diagnosing people pretty quickly. And I don't think they're as thorough checking to make sure that if the diagnosis is actually a true diagnosis and not looking at all the causes, because there's a lot of causes in my book that I know that they're not checking for. And, for example, a big one, which I spoke about the other day, is a vitamin B12 deficiency. Now, I know that when I was doing my research for my book, I found that vitamin B12 deficiency can look exactly the same symptoms as dementia, Alzheimer's dementia. And if it's misdiagnosed, then that person is going down the wrong road and they actually may have just had a vitamin B12 deficiency, which can easily be fixed up rather than being that diagnosis being incorrect or missed, and they headed the wrong direction, and it's really sad.
Yeah, 100%. And so the B12, where can that be sourced from? I think I have my note here from the other day, like meat, fish, dairy, that type of thing.
Vitamin B, it's from meat, fish, dairy, eggs, and chicken, So it's a real not, it's vegetarians actually are the only ones that would be definitely missing out on having their B12 levels, because there's no sort of vegetarian type foods that you can get B12 from. So they would have to supplement with just a nutritional supplement, B12,
And finding a good one can be tricky, I know that.
but I want to tell you also, before we're still on this,
it's
really important to just, if we're listening to this now and thinking, okay, I'm just going to get vitamin B12 supplement, please don't do that first. You've got to get your blood test done. It's really important, because if you start taking vitamin B12 supplement, then we'll never know what your true blood levels of vitamin B12 are. So we'll never be able to pick it up whether it'll look like your B12s are fine if you're supplementing, and then you get a blood test. It's too late. So it's best to sort of get the blood test done first and then see what the results are. And that's where I specialise in reading the results for people that have got a B12, getting a B12 blood test done. Yeah.
Okay, so is that basically you'd get the blood test results, then go, all right, I've got a B12 deficiency or something, then come see you? Like what's the process for improvement?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so there's three things they need to test for to get a correct a reading of a B12 deficiency. The first thing they've got to test for is actual vitamin B12. The second one is the folic acid or folate. And the third one is an amino acid called homocysteine. It's H-O-M-O-C-Y-S-T-E-I-N-E. Now, if that homocysteine levels are high, that indicates a vitamin B12 deficiency. And also, if your B12 levels are low, that's definitely indicative as well of a B12. But there are a few other complications there, and it's really important for me to look at the blood tests there to make sure that we got everything correct. Because there's iron and hemoglobin is all involved in it, and vitamin D is involved in it as well. So it's really good to get a complete blood test, but have those three specific ones tested. So
if you're low in those areas, you may not actually have dementia. Is that right?
You don't have to have dementia, right? But this is the thing, though. A vitamin B12 deficiency can be simple symptoms like feeling dizzy, right?
Vertigo type thing.
Headaches, low energy, anxiety, even depression. It affects the moods as well. So you could have a vitamin B12 deficiency. What I found is that a lot of the older generation, when I hear someone has had a fall, that really concerns me, and I have seen over the years that person who has had a fall has actually had a vitamin B12 deficiency. When they get older, they're any age really. If you start having little falls, vitamin B12 is like you get pins and needles, right, in the fingers. A lot of people get those symptoms. Headaches, they're little symptoms that you would actually even dismiss, you know, and that's why it's so easily not many people have found out about a B12 deficiency, because the symptoms are so little, really, but they are also, you know, so serious they can actually cause memory loss. And so it all depends where your vitamin B12 deficiency is affecting, where it's actually low.
Yeah, I wonder, because my grandfather, who's in a nursing home, he did have a few falls, which is why he was eventually moved to a nursing home, because he was on his own and he'd go out to the shops, obviously exercise, and he'd have a fall at the shops, and it was, you know, becoming a bit of a safety concern. So, you know, and now, you know, his memory has seemed to decline a lot. I mean, it could be being the nursing home as well. But, yeah, it kind of makes me wonder. It could be the B12 thing after all.
Whenever I hear that, I just think immediately, please get your vitamin B12 tested, because it could be. Why are they having falls? Yeah. Why? You know, you've got to think about it.
It's not just they're getting old and they're getting frail, because he wasn't really old. No, that frail, he was quite active. He was walking a lot. And
They can have dizzy spells. And the thing is, I went in part of in my research in my book, I found that falls are only little falls, like tripping over. It's not like falling down stairs. They're all little trips, tripping on a carpet, or just little tiny silly falls, and they are responsible for a huge percentage of people with broken hips and broken bones when they get older. And you can nail that down. I'd confidently almost say 50%, I'd say, from my research, that 50% of those older people could have a vitamin B12 deficiency if they've had a fall. And now they've got a broken hip and they're in hospital. And then they've probably had, they've obviously had anaesthetics with the surgery, and that could, even if they've got a B12 deficiency, that could just push that dementia even further along.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. It's very interesting. Do you have any other, what are some of your other most fascinating or concerning discoveries around brain health and dementia that you've come up across?
Yeah, see, that's the biggest one, really. That is the biggest one. Mm. When I found that out, and because I thought, well, another big one, I could tell you also, which happened to my mother, how she got dementia, is very, very similar. I didn't know at the time. It's only years after that I find out and put everything together. It's like a puzzle. But she had a fall, and she broke a hip, right? So then she had to have surgery, and that's what happened to her. She went in to have her surgery and had anaesthetics with it. And my dad and myself went to see her after the operation, and she smiled at dad, and she looked like she was recovered okay from the operation. And so she looked at me and she didn't recognise me at all. And I was shocked. I thought, what's going on? So I said to the doctor, what is it? You know, and he said, oh, it's the anaesthetics. He said, your mum will be back to her normal self when the anaesthetics wear off. He said, everyone's got, it takes some people longer than others, but don't worry, she'll come back to her normal self. I thought, great, thank goodness. But it never happened. We waited weeks, we waited months. Mum never came back to her normal self. And 1 year later, after her fall, dad was getting pretty worn out with looking after her. He needed a respite. And so we had to put Mum into respite for a couple of days, just whatever, a week. In that time, of course, she didn't have Dad around. She wasn't at home. She just wanted to go home. So she decided to climb the fence.
And
fell and broke her other hip exactly 1 year apart from her first. Yeah, so, of course, then she had to have another operation. And we said, please don't use whatever you used before. We didn't know what that was.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Please don't use whatever you used. We didn't know. And so they didn't. They obviously used the same thing, whatever it was. At the time, we never knew. And from then, Mum just went from the hospital into a nursing home. There was no coming home. That was it. And that is what's happening at the moment as well, that I feel very strongly about. So if you put those two together, just the vitamin B12 deficiency misdiagnosis, and also the falls, you know, and the anaesthetics, there's two really, really big indicators of why you know, why are these people actually going towards dementia? That's, yeah. And B12 is really, could have stemmed from that. Obviously, my mother had a vitamin B12 deficiency because I have it now, but we didn't know about it at that time. See, so she would have tripped, lost her balance, had a fall, broke hip.
Yeah, wow. And so how do you, so you've got a B12 deficiency yourself.
Yeah.
So how do you feel when your levels are low, or do you just always have vitamins, or you're eating up the right foods now to make sure that you keep it at the optimum level?
Yeah, I make sure that I have my vitamin supplements all the time. It's daily. Yeah, it's it just drops here, little red drops.
Okay,
And it tastes, it's very sweet and it's easy to take. It's just like, it's something that once you've got a B12 deficiency, you've got it for life, really. You know, you just got to make sure your levels don't get too low. So at least, I think once you know that you've got a B12 deficiency, there's definitely something you can do about it. And, compared to some of the serious conditions that it can lead to, it's pretty important.
100%. And so apart from if your parents or grandparents or even partners, maybe they're mentioning dizziness or headaches, and maybe they are having falls, are there any other signs of dementia that we should look out for, or signs of deficiency?
Oh, heaps. About 2 pages of symptoms of all vitamin B12 deficiency. Yeah. So look, I could probably send something to you for your.
Yeah, I'll put in the show notes. Yeah, that'd be great. Because that's the worrying thing. And I guess it's just a matter of getting regular blood tests and health checks, right? And that now you know what to look out for, because I guess, as you said, the symptoms can be very similar. And because dementia, just to we can define it, what is dementia itself?
What is dementia? So that's the word, actually, is an umbrella term for all the different types of dementia, like Lewy bodies, what's the other one? Of course, Alzheimer's disease, that's the most common one, frontotemporal dementia. There's probably about five or six that I know of, but apparently there's quite a few more, I'd say about 50, 100, I don't know. So dementia is an umbrella term for what's happening.
So it's basically it's shutting down different pathways in the brain. Is ultimately what's happening?
Yeah, the brain cells are just eventually just dying. Yeah, the brain cells are not active any longer and they just deteriorate. And so the brain's not functioning. It all depends what part of the brain as to what type of dementia is affected and what your symptoms are.
So it's like if they remember what they did 20 years ago, but don't remember yesterday, that would be one type versus.
Well, that could be a symptom of quite a few of them.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. But there's a younger onset dementia. With the frontotemporal dementia, I think there's a lot of people with the younger onset get that. And it's younger onset is 65 years and younger. And their symptoms isn't so much memory loss or anything like that. It's quite different. And that's probably why they're not sort of getting picked up as quickly. And I think that a lot of people with the younger onset dementia, this under 65s, people are being diagnosed in their 30s, 40s and 50s. It's too young to be able to have. They're in the middle of their life. They've got a family, they've got a job, income, probably paying off a mortgage, and then all of a sudden they get diagnosed with dementia and they've got to give up the work and they can't drive. And then so what happens to their life? It's terrible. So, there's a few reasons why. There's about 27,000 people in Australia with younger onset. That's really increased over the years. And it really, people really shouldn't be getting dementia that young. That's why I believe there's lots we can do. And I believe that there's probably not, they're not checking thoroughly enough before diagnosis. But once again, my personal opinion.
Yeah, of course. And so could the causes of the younger onset be the lack of nutrients in the food that we have? You know, it's all mass produced a lot more. We're not eating as much fresh foods as we once did. Could that be all related, do you think? Or could it be another factor? Stress, maybe our stressful
lifestyle? Stress is a big one. Stress is a very big one. I think that we can't nail anything down there. There's too many causes of memory problems that if people dismiss these, people are getting forgetful and they might just joke about and say, oh, you know, must be getting dementia and that. That is when you've got an awareness. That's when you've got to be able to do something about it. Having an awareness is that time, that window of opportunity. So people go to the doctors and they're aware of having memory problems and they go to the doctors and find out what can we do, you know, whatever. And, well, if, you know, they just say, well, you know, if you're depressed, you know, you must be depressed if your memory is not functioning, you know, you can have antidepressants or possibly. But, you know, and other people there, the doctor might say, well, you know, you're fine, you know, it's just old age or something like that. There's just put it down to, but it's, and then they say, come back and see me in 6 months. That 6 months is such a window of opportunity to actually address the causes. Find out why. I mean, this is the thing I get really upset about is people get diagnosed, but do they know why they got dementia? What was the cause? You ask the doctor, why have I got it? How did I get it? There's no, we don't know. They say we don't know. But if they actually looked, this person could have had memory problems a couple of years ago, could have gone ages ago. They might have, it can be like side effects of medications even. That's a big one. That's another big one. So there's a number of things where we can actually do something about memory problems and they shouldn't be ignored.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I just, 100%. And so like, apart from, you know, getting the blood test, checking for deficiencies, what are your recommendations for, like, improving your brain health? Like, I've heard of things, you know, you challenging your brain constantly and doing new things because if things become mundane, your brain isn't being challenged enough. I want to get your thoughts as well on, like, Sudokus and puzzles to strengthen your brain. Like, do they help or just, you know, it's a fun thing to do?
Yeah, look. They do work, like even crosswords, but there's a thing is when you do something brand new and you've not done it before, your brain hasn't tried it before, it's difficult and it's a challenge. And that is a dead ringer signal that your brain loves it, right? You're actually the growing more neurons. They're connecting, making connections with the other brain cells. That's really good. So long as you do crosswords and not the same crosswords that you're really good at, no, that's not doing anything. That's like watching TV. You're not using your brain. You've got to use your brain every day. And you know, the brain is plastic. You know, we can actually have a better brain now than when we were younger. Neuroplasticity. You know, the brain just can actually make those connections by actually doing something and using your brain instead of just sitting and watching TV.
I love that. And so do you like prescribe, I guess, to your clients, you know, a healthy diet as well as some of these types of puzzles and things to do?
Yeah, definitely. Healthy diet is huge. It plays a huge part, you know. And when I look at people's different blood tests, many times I see that people have got a vitamin D deficiency, you know. So even just when we see that there's deficiency, different vitamins and mineral deficiencies, and we supplement with them, that can actually help to improve. So look, fish oil is really good. You know, the omega-3s is really important for brain health. You know, that's something everyone should be having. And also I would recommend, what's another one? Look, there's so many. I would say vitamin D, and I'd say definitely the omega-3s, and to actually have coconut oil in your diet. Yeah. Get rid of the margarines. Butter's good, okay. But get rid of all the vegetable oils, Right. Coconut oil is really good. Coconut oil and olive oil are really good for the brain. Excellent. But any of the others, any of the vegetable oils, you'll have to throw them away. I'm sorry.
I've got like one in the cupboard. All right, I'll get rid of it. Actually, no, I use more olive oil, and I swear in my online shop I selected olive oil, but a vegetable oil came. I had thrown out the the list, so I don't know if I got it wrong or they did. But okay, I'm not going to use it. Only olive oil.
They cause inflammation in the brain. Yeah, so they're no good at all.
And the margarine, because I grew up on the Meadow Lea margarine, like, so that's actually not as good as butter.
No.
Yeah,
margarine's man-made.
Yeah,
not butter. It's not more natural. Butter's so much better for you. Yeah. And you know how butter's no good for you. It's actually natural, so it's good for you. It's what's not good for you is the margarines.
It's, all right, it's the other I've got two around. Items to throw out now. Done. Mm. All right, awesome. And okay, so I wanted to also ask you something else. So do people need to see a GP or something as a referral before they come to you, or can they just come to you as the first point of call?
Yep, they can come and see me. They don't need a referral to see me at all.
Yeah.
No. But they need to go and get the blood test through the doctors.
Yeah.
First. Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. Cool. Oh, I've loved our chat. And I know there's heaps of courses. Send me whatever information you've got and I'll put it in the show notes so people can read up a little bit more.
Yeah.
I always ask, this kind of ties in anyway, I always ask my guests this, how do you manage your health and wellness?
How do I manage it? I definitely use my brain because I'm reading and researching all the time. I just love reading. I know that my brain's getting a workout because I'm learning so much all the time. Get enough sleep. You've got to get sleep is so important. And also exercise is, these are just really basic things of life, you know. Exercise, there's so much research saying exercise, walking even, is really good for your brain. It really is. It makes you feel good as well. You know, especially this year, what we've been through for anxiety and depression, walking's excellent. And also a really good diet. Like, you know, and the diet we're talking about is just like fresh fruit and vegetables, like the greens, especially like spinach and kale is really good for the brain. Those blueberries, any of the dark red and purple fruits, full of antioxidants that help fight inflammation in the brain. So, you know, it's really just eating the right foods. I love all those foods. It just comes naturally to me and that. So what else do I do? I think that's it, isn't it? Yeah, so getting enough sleep is really important. I probably haven't been doing enough of that. But other than that, yeah, I think it's quite easy if you put your mind to it. If you know what to do and you get the right information, then you can look after your brain health pretty well, I'd say.
I love it. And your loved ones. So if you do have a, you know, your partner, your parent, your grandparent, you do see them declining, do make sure that they are eating well. My grandfather, I know he would seriously have maybe a can of tuna for dinner and that'd be it. Or he'd just get the frozen meal. So we started, you know, baking some things and giving it to him before he did move out. But I know, like, I don't know what sort of nutrients he was getting. So that I'm just from my own personal experience, I can see these kind of things that would have made an impact. So make sure your loved ones are getting, you know, the right food, not the all overly processed stuff too.
That's what I wanted to also say.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Chuck out the processed foods, right? Okay, have we got enough time?
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's three things I wanted to also let people know is the ingredients in processed food. Number one, look out for 951 aspartame. It's an artificial sweetener, really bad for the brain. Sodium monosodium glutamate, MSG, that's in a lot of the packaged foods as well. That's also causes the brain to be, you know, the brain cells to be hyperactive and can actually kill brain cells. And also fructose, just those three are in a lot of packaged foods now. And with the fructose, that actually, there's research studied that it actually slows your thinking and learning. So okay. It actually makes you dumber, if that's possible. Yeah, that is definitely what's happening, because fructose is in a lot of the fast foods. And yeah, yes, I said it's an artificial and sweet. Not that there's aspartame, it's artificial sweetener. There's the MSG, which is like in chips, the kids' chips. You have a look. That's 621. Look out for that. 951 aspartame, 621 MSG, and fructose. Those three definitely are in many of the packaged foods, especially for kids. And that can cause hyperactivity and learning problems and all sorts of things. See, so this is another whole area where children maybe not even need to be on any medication for hyperactivity or ADHD. It might be just in the packaged food that they're eating. Really, it could be as simple as fix as that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so change the diet or remove just that packet of chips they're having every day.
Chips is definitely got MSG in it. You have a look.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna go look through the pantry now. We don't have a lot of processed food. The kids have started having like the Pringles or I have popcorn, so I know that one's okay. Pringles and we'll have the French fries. There's little chip French fries. So I might just subtly look which ones and go, I couldn't get them anymore, and just start getting, I'll go through the health food aisle. Well, they often do have chips and stuff, which, you know, they'll think, oh, cool, I'm getting a nice treat. But I'm like, I know it's a healthy treat though. So maybe I'll suss it out. Awesome. And how can people connect with you?
Yeah, look, at my email is louise@smartbrainhealthcentre.com.au. And, my website is thesmartbrainhealthcentre.com.au, same. I've been wanting to I've got a free brain health test on my website that people can do. It only takes a couple of minutes to do. And you get a report of your results straight away after you've done it. And with that included is you can have a 20-minute discovery call to discuss your results, or if you've got any questions you want to ask about anything. I've got that available on my website. And the other thing is I'm putting this out there now because this has been on my mind for probably about a year and I want to get around to it. I want to be able to get a community of people together whose parents or grandparents have got dementia or Alzheimer's disease. They've been diagnosed or they're very forgetful, whatever, because I think that there's a lot we can do that I can actually help with the vitamin B12, because it is hereditary. And that's important for people to know. So if there's a grandparent or a parent, it doesn't affect every single person. It might just skip one person, but it could be hereditary. And so that's why I want to be able to get this community of people together and have, you know, be able to discuss this. So if anyone's interested, they can just email me there through you. That would be wonderful. And you can get this thing started.
That sounds
like it can help a lot of people.
Yeah, that'd be a face-to-face group or online or both?
I'd like face-to-face. It would be much better, you know, if we can do that. Yeah. So just initially putting it out there now and just see how we go, just starting off small. Yep. But I think it's really important that people know that they can do things. And my book's doing a good job, but I want more people to know, you know.
Yes. So. Oh, and I'll put a link to your book as well. Can people purchase on Amazon or
your website? On my website, they can get it.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, I'll put a link to that as well because, yes, I'm very interested having, two grandparents, both on my mother's side who had dementia. Yeah. Yes, it could be very much hereditary. So I'm thinking I want to get on top of it and know what to look out for. And in case my mum starts doing it, hi, mum, I can get onto it straight away. Awesome. Oh, thank you so much for the chat today. I'm fascinated by this stuff. I've always said I don't have the best memory in general, but I think it's just more I have a selective memory. And that, you know, like anything marketing business related, I retain, but any facts or figures that I don't feel that's relevant to me, I just let go. So I think it's like, it's an okay type of memory where anything's not relevant, doesn't clutter my brain. and nursery rhymes still come up every now and again, and music, Yeah, because I was saying about music the other day, how music often brings, you know, memories, and that's it's got very close connections.
Yeah.
So I've just accepted that I'll always be terrible at trivia nights, but bring me on the nursery rhyme songs and I'm there. All the kids' TV shows, I'm there. awesome. Thank you so much. And yes, I'll put all that stuff in the show notes. And and I look forward to seeing you at the next VX meeting as well.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Leanne, for having me on your show. It's been great to talk.
Yes, it's been great. Thank you. And hopefully we change some people's perspective on dementia or on brain health today. So please, and let us know as well if you do take away something from today. Please leave a review or send Louisa or me a message and let us know, because we'd love to know what made an impact.
Yeah.
So, yes, thank you very much for tuning in, dear listener. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. And if you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating or review via your podcast app or at ratethispodcast.com/marketingandme. If you're interested in connected with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you've listened to the podcast. And if you want to learn more about generating leads or outsourcing your copywriting to me, head to my website, righttimemarketing.com.au, and book in a free 30-minute discovery call. So until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.